A parliamentary investigation could be launched into whether it's legal for banks and insurers to blacklist companies that are linked to coal and gas producers. The Federal Resources Minister, Keith Pitt, has requested the inquiry, saying legitimate and law-abiding businesses are being unfairly targeted for being involved in the fossil fuel sector. This comes amid claims that Australia is now globally isolated on climate action after the Prime Minister was denied a speaking slot at the weekend UN Summit on Climate Ambition. Denied that spot over our government's refusal to commit to a net zero emissions target by 2050. Keith Pitt joins us again. Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Hey, good morning, Fran. Good morning to your listeners.
You've asked for this parliamentary inquiry. You say the lending to and insuring of resource-based companies is a matter of national significance. Why is it?
Well, firstly, because in the last financial year, the resources sector added some $293 billion to Australia's GDP. It employs directly nearly 250,000 Australians. It's a very important part of what we do. And, Fran, you know, there's been very few advantages in the COVID-19 period, but one for me was a restriction in travel, which meant I spent a lot more time doing roundtables in places like Townsville and Mackay and Rockhampton and Gladstone and eventually down into the Hunter and Newcastle. And what came through very, very clearly, mum and dad businesses all the way through to, you know, very, very big companies having trouble getting, firstly, insurance, if they work in the resources sector, and secondly, finance. Now, I don't think that that should continue. I've referred a committee inquiry to the Trade and Investment Committee. Now, the committee will consider that this week, is my understanding. It's up to them whether they move forward on it or not, or come back and ask for change in terms, but that's up to the committee. Parliamentary inquiries are very powerful, and I'd expect them to do a significant amount of work to determine how big the challenge is and what we might be able to do about it.
Okay, but the big question is why they're being finding it harder to get insurance or finance. There could be a lot of answers to that, but what's your end goal here? Do you want to force companies to underwrite businesses if linked to fossil fuels, even if they are viewed as bad investments and could cause either economic, financial or reputational damage to the investor or the insurer? Is that what you want to happen?
Well, firstly, I'm not going to preempt what the inquiry might find as an outcome or as a recommendation. But secondly,
well, you clearly want some action. I mean, you're worried about it. What do you want to happen to change?
Well, I'll give you some easy examples. If you're an engineer, whether that's a civil, electrical, or mechanical, and you can't get professional indemnity insurance because mm-hmm. you might work in a coal mine for part of your work, I mean, what difference does it make if you design a tailwater dam for a coal mine or one for agriculture? They're exactly the same.
And have you heard of these engineers not being able to get personal indemnity for that reason?
Well, professional indemnity has been very challenging. Public liability has been challenging. I mean, this is the feedback that I've got through these roundtables.
Because of connection to the resource industry, not because of, I mean, public liability, there's a lot of concerns, obviously, about natural disasters.
Well, that's what's been put to me, Fran, and that's the reason that I'm asking the committee to do the inquiry. I mean, look at your own situation. If you couldn't get a loan for a vehicle because you worked at the ABC, do you think that would be right? Well, in my view, it's not. This is why we are asking the committee to go and make inquiries to determine what the facts are and then make recommendations.
Okay, but let's take ANZ. It updated its climate change policy a few months ago. Many in the Nats were unhappy about that, yourself included. The bank will no longer fund new coal mines or coal-fired power stations and will phase out existing coal investments by 2030. But isn't the bank doing what the regulator APRA has told it to do, which is factor climate risks into its lending decisions? It's getting out of coal because it sees no future in coal. Isn't that sound prudential practice?
Well, Fran, once again, I mean, what about the thousands of people who work in the resources sector who have mortgages, they have car loans, even ports? Now, for porters, the majority exporter.
I understand, but you've got the advice from the regulator. What should the financial institutions do? Ignore that?
Well, as you would have seen on the weekend, there's also advice from small business that it's a challenge for them as well. It's creating all sorts of angst in terms of insurance. Mm-hmm. But once again, why would you rub out something like a port, which is a majority exporter for steelmaking coal, simply because it's coal? So once again, I've put an inquiry across for the committee to consider. The committee will make a decision on whether they proceed, and I expect they'll do what all committees do. They'll work hard, they'll establish the facts, and they'll make recommendations.
You mentioned the Small Business Ombudsman's report last week, a widespread market failure when it came to availability and affordability of insurance. That is true. Some small businesses can't find cover because they're involved in mining. That was the feedback. But the bigger problem, according to the Ombudsman, is the prevalence of natural disasters. Do you accept that?
Well, Fran, once again, insurers are out making decisions. We have any number of Australians who do live in regional and remote Australia. They are entitled to be insured at a reasonable rate, as other Australians are. So we want to ensure that that happens. This has been a long-running problem, as I'm sure you know, friend.
Yeah, but I understand that. They might be entitled to be insured, but businesses, insurers are entitled not to insure businesses and individuals that are in areas where the increasing natural disasters are causing more claims. Is the answer some kind of government underwriting insurance? Is that the issue? Is that the solution, do you think?
Oh, well, once again, I mean, this is in Michael Suka's area. There's been any number of inquiries. There's been a lot of work underway. I know Minister Suka's working very hard on the issue, but it's a challenging one. You've only got to listen to Warren Ench in the far north. Aged care facilities, for example, massive increases in their insurance. We need to ensure that all Australians have an opportunity. That's what we should do as a Commonwealth, as a federal government. It's certainly my intention to make sure that everyone gets that opportunity to be insured at a reasonable rate.
Yes, but you've also got to ensure that it's a fair game for the insurers too. I mean, just looking at coal again, the super industry doesn't see a future in coal either. Australian Super controls a $200 billion portfolio of investments, like many businesses, including Santos, for instance. It's committed to hitting net zero by 2050, and the chief executive of Australian Super, Ian Silk, says, quote, the outlook for coal stocks is incredibly bleak. I mean, isn't the market the ultimate arbiter of whether coal has a future?
Well, there's over 200 power stations either under construction or in detailed design or planning right around the world that will use thermal coal to generate. Once again, we come back to technology. It shouldn't be about what the feedstock is. It's about what your emissions level are. So if you can control your emissions through technology and you wish to use Australian resources, well, I think that's fine, and I think we should continue to do what we do best.
Okay, so you're lumping the hope and future certainty on technology, technological breakthroughs.
Well, there's been any number of technological breakthroughs already. There's been significant advances. As we've said on this program before, Fran, high-efficiency, low-emission coal-fired power stations have massive reductions.
You have said that, and yet still, to quote Ian Silk, the outlook for coal stocks is incredibly bleak.
Well, once again...
The market's leading this, isn't it?
The International Energy Agency still says there'll be a very large demand for coal. Australia's coal is a very high-quality product. It will continue to be that way. We're very efficient in terms of how we deliver it, which means we're cost competitive. And not all coals are equal, Fran. A lot of these things are tuned into their particular boilers and particular users. So I think the market demand will continue. Coal prices are actually up in recent days and weeks. And once again, we've got a lot of hardworking Australians out there who are working in the industry, and I think they've done a great job over the last few months.
That kind of talk is in stark contrast with, for instance, the warning we got from the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres over the weekend, who says we're heading for a catastrophic temperature rise of more than 3 degrees by end of the century unless all countries declare climate emergencies.
Well, as the Prime Minister has said, we are the ones who set government policy in Australia. We took our policies to the last election. That was accepted by the Australian people, and we're about delivery. I mean, grand statements are quite simple to make, and if they made a difference, well, Mark Butler and Pat Conroy made that exact statement in the Parliament many months ago, and I don't seem to recall it changing anything. So it's about outcomes, it's about a plan, it's about knowing where we're going and what it will cost, and it's about delivery.
It's also about reputations, isn't it? I mean, there is reputational damage potentially. Australia was snubbed at the virtual UN Climate Ambition Summit. I know the Coalition is not worried about that. But there are warnings aplenty of retaliatory action on the trade front if we don't lift our climate action and ambitions. Are you taking those threats seriously?
We support a rules-based system, and that's exactly what happens with trade. Australia continues to deliver under the agreements we have right around the world, whether they're FTAs or RCEPs or otherwise. And once again, we set the policies for this country. The Australian people are the ones who determine who's in government.
Yeah, but are you not worried about some of our trading partners building in some kind of retaliatory measures into trade agreements linked to emissions? Because the US President-elect Joe Biden is certainly signalling that.
Well, my concern is about jobs. It's about how many people
that
I can have employed in Australia. We want to ensure as many individuals as possible are employed as quickly as we can get them back into the workforce. And the resources sector is a massive part of that. So we'll continue to work with technology. We'll continue to work with our traditional industries, whether you're in Newcastle or Townsville. I want to ensure all of those individuals who've done an incredibly good job over the COVID period continue to be employed.
The Prime Minister seems to be pivoting a little on climate action following Joe Biden's election as US President. Scott Morrison said he'd like to see Australia achieve net zero emissions as early as possible. But in the past, the Nationals leader, Michael McCormick, has called that target unworkable. Matt Canavan said it was fantastical. Will the Nats ever let Scott Morrison make a firm commitment for Australia to have net zero emissions by 2050?
Fran, the Nationals stand up for regional Australia. And as I've said, it's about
will,
jobs.
Does that mean they will or not? Do you support net zero emissions by 2050?
Well, there's been no policy decision on that. We've made a commitment to 2030, which we are delivering on. And this is about delivery. As I said earlier, it's easy to make grand statements. There's a lot of difference between actually delivering on those statements or not.
Do you have a view yourself on net zero emissions by 2050 as a goal?
Well, once again, I mean, in 30 years, I'm hopeful I'm still breathing, Fran, but we'll maintain our focus on the commitments we've made that the Australian people have agreed to. And in regional Australia in particular, we want to make sure that those big industries that continue to drive employment for us are sustainable into the long term. And that's what we intend to do.
Just finally, Minister, your predecessor in this job, Resources Minister Matt Canavan, has now called for a levy to be slapped on Australian iron ore exports to China, basically as punishment for the trade strikes from China against our wine, our seafood, our barley, our beef. The penalty should be raised every time, he says, Beijing takes further action against other exports. Do you support that idea?
Oh, well, look, backbenchers are entitled to their view, Fran. We work
what do you
under
think
the rules based. Well, we work under the rules-based trading system, and Australia will meet its commitments.
Keith Pitt, thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Keith Pitt is the Minister for Resources, Water and Northern Australia.